Ezekiel's vision. We start out with verses 1 through 3, the setting. And we focus in on the setting in three different ways. Number one, as to time. Now it came about in the 30th year. The 30th year is a reference to Ezekiel's age. And I'm simply in our notes for the overhead just going to put E so I won't have to write his name every time. E means Ezekiel. Ezekiel was 30 when he started his ministry. That's verse 1. It came about in the 30th year, and if we would put it in his words, it came about in the 30th year of my life. The 30th year is significant because when you come down to verse 3, it says the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest. And that would be appropriate because according to the book of Numbers 4, 1 through 3, that's the age at which a priest began his ministry. I'll simply note it. Numbers 4, 1 through 3 says priests began their public ministry at the age of 30. As to the time of the vision, continuing in verse 1, this was on the fifth day of the fourth month when I was by the river Kabar among the exiles. The heavens were open and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel. So he gives us a date for the prophecy, and it was somewhere in the fifth month, which would be on our calendar, a crossover of June and July. So June and July of the year 593 B.C., the prophecy comes to Ezekiel. As to place, they were by the river Kabar. Kabar was a man-made waterway to irrigate the land, and it was basically a Jewish encampment of malcontent exiles. Third, as to the event, what happens there? As to event. And we will focus on several things. Number one, the heavens. Number one, the heavens. Verse 1. It came about in the 30th year of my life, on the fifth day of the fourth month, when I was by the river Kabar among the exiles, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. First of all, this is the only Old Testament prophet of whom it is said he saw heavens opened. Ezekiel is the only Old Testament prophet of whom it is said he saw the heavens open. This is only of Ezekiel. Nobody else saw that except one. Keeping your finger here, Revelation 4. And I will show you the other person that saw heaven opened, and it's Revelation 4 and verse 1. John on Patmos is speaking, and he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So only of Ezekiel in the Old Testament is it said that he saw the heavens standing open, and in the New Testament, parallel by John. So, many have said Ezekiel is the St. John of the Old Testament. Now, when he sees the heavens opened, what does that mean? What is the significance of heaven standing open? The significance of this involves several things. Number one, heaven standing open indicates deep revelation and insight. Ezekiel saw lots of things, and he saw them keenly because heaven stood open. Deep revelation and keen insight. It's just as though God is saying to Ezekiel, you look up, I'll split the heavens open, and you're going to see the government of God as it's going on. So let's put, this is the government of God seen. Government of God is going to be seen. And in this vision that we have in chapter 1, we're going to see into heaven, and how God's government relates to what's going on in terms of earth. And the thing we will learn is this: God's government is never static. There's always something going on. And therefore, the events of life and the events on earth are not random. History is directed along a predetermined course by God, and Ezekiel is going to see that. He's going to grasp that, that things that go on earth and things that will go on earth are not random. Nothing just happens. Everything is under the providence and the direction of God, and Ezekiel will see that. The keen insight is into two things. He is going to see the person and the plans of God. He's going to see the person, and he's going to see the plans of God as they're going on. Now, as he gets this insight, the book of Ezekiel has certain revelation that is fullest only in Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is the fullest revelation concerning three things. This is the fullest revelation in the Bible concerning three things. Number one, Israel's enemies in the last days. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Israel's enemies in the last days. Ezekiel 38 and 39. And again, prominent among the last day enemies of Israel from Ezekiel 38 and 39 will be her Mideast enemies, and you will have Iran, you will have Turkey, you will have Russia involved when we get to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. No place else do we find who her last day enemies are going to be more fully than in Ezekiel 38 and 39. The second most full revelation that we have is in the reign of Christ. There will be worship in the temple. So we will have a picture of the millennial temple. Ezekiel 40 through 43. Fullest revelation of the millennial temple. Third, we will have the fullest revelation of the place of the land in the kingdom age or in the millennium. And that's 47 through 48. We should really take the millennial temple up through 47, I suppose, because it's got the worship. What kind of worship will be going on when Christ reigns on earth? And we will be told that. And you have this other places in the prophets, but not nearly as fully as you do in the book of Ezekiel. You look at what place will Palestine have during the reign of Christ? Two chapters. What kind of worship will be going on when Christ reigns on earth? You got chapters 40 through 47. Seven chapters there of Revelation. And then finally, or previous to that, the enemies of the last day of Israel. So, heavens are opened. And as a result of heavens being open, Ezekiel gets to look in and see the person and the plans of God. The next thing that comes into the picture in verse 1 is the visions. Heaven's visions. Verse 1, it came about in the 30th year of my life. On the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was by the river Kabar, among the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now, just so we don't associate vision with some kind of hallucination of some sort, the word in Hebrew that is used for vision, mara, M-A-R-E-H, is a word that means what one sees, either usual or unusual. It could be usual, it could be unusual. The word translated vision could be what you see as you look down at your Bible text, writing on a paper. That's usual. The word mara could refer to the fact you're standing in the parking lot and you look at a car. What you are seeing is a vision. It is what one sees, whether usual or unusual. The word vision does not refer to insight. Sometimes we say he has a great vision for doing such and such, and we mean something in his mind that he wants to do. It does not mean this. It always refers to outward appearance. It's always a reference to outward appearance. Ezekiel sees something, literally and really. He does not see it merely in his mind. He sees it in a literal way. For example, keep your finger here and go to Isaiah chapter 52. And notice how much it refers to something you see outwardly. It's not insight. It's actual, outward, literal appearance. Isaiah 52, verse 52:14. Prophesying the suffering of Christ on the cross. And verse 14 says, just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance, and that's the word translated vision, his appearance was marred more than any other man, and his form more than the sons of men. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the physical appearance of Christ on the cross. And it's translated appearance. You come down to chapter 53 and verse 2. He, speaking of Christ, grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground, he has no stately form. Stately form is the same word translated vision. What's it refer to? Not insight, but outward external appearance of Christ. All right, taking that back then to Ezekiel 1:1. Came about in the 30th year of my life, on the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river Kabar, among the exiles. And keep in your mind, the exiles were a horrible bunch of malcontents. They griped and griped and griped. And he is going to be told to take a message to them, which they probably will not receive, and which they did not receive. So he opened, the heavens were open, and he saw visions. He saw appearances, outward appearances of God. That has to do with the visions. All right, we move from the visions to the next verse, which has to do with the hand of God. Verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar. And there the hand of the Lord came upon him. Now, what does that mean? What is the idea that the hand of the Lord came upon him? The hand was there to enable Ezekiel to receive and report the word of God accurately. The hand of God was on Ezekiel to enable him to receive and report the word of God accurately. It's divine enablement, so that what he saw and what he heard, he'll be able. It's the overwhelming influence of God that guarantees the truthfulness of his prophecies. This hand becomes very important. We have it in 1:3, 3:14, 3:22, 8:1, 33:22, 37:1, and 40:1. Now let's take those through just to get the force of how God is saying, as Ezekiel prophesies to you, my hand was upon him. And the first time is in 1:3. Go to 3:14. This gives authority to the message of Ezekiel. Now, this also shows that what Ezekiel said and heard was from the Lord. The reason I say that is if you pick up many of the very liberal commentators on the book of Ezekiel, in fact, there's one whole book is dedicated to proving, so the author thinks, one point, and that is Ezekiel was crazy. And he tries to develop that he had a mental disease and the man was sick. That is not true. What he sees, What he says is due to the hand of God upon him. So it's not a mental problem, even though he will see some strange things, will admit this was the hand of God. So 3:14, notice how we're told this now and reminded this repeatedly. Verse 14 of chapter 3, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I was embittered, and went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Verse 22, and the hand of the Lord was on me there. And he said to me, get up, go out to the plain, and there I will speak with you. Chapter 8, verse 1. And it came about in the sixth year, on the fifth day of the sixth month, as I was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell on me there. 33:22. Strong emphasis. This is not Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel under the strong influence of the hand of God. The hand of God being on him would be another expression for the inspiration of Scripture. 33:22. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me in the evening before the refugees came. And he opened my mouth at the time they came to me in the morning, so my mouth was open and I was no longer speechless. 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Chapter 40, verse 1. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the city was taken, on that same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me there. So notice the emphasis on the overwhelming divine influence that is operating throughout the book of Ezekiel on the prophet. That is the hand. All right, let's make then a few observations on Ezekiel 1:1-3. Observations on 1:1-3. Observation number one. When men in the Old Testament saw God, they were never the same. When men in the Old Testament saw God, they were never thereafter the same. And let me simply narrate a few examples. Jacob saw God at Peniel, and he was transformed. Moses went up Mount Sinai and saw God face to face, and he was never the same. Isaiah saw God in chapter 6 of his prophecy, and his ministry began. Paul saw Christ on the Damascus Road, and it so blinded him that he never saw the allurements of this world ever again. John saw heaven standing open on the Isle of Patmos, and his ministry was never the same. And finally, Ezekiel saw God in June and July of 593 BC, and his whole prophecy reflects it. Now, that is not only true of them, this is also true of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We do not see God like Ezekiel did, but we see God in the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Seeing God was the means of transformation of Ezekiel. Seeing God is the means of transformation for the believer. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That's what Ezekiel saw in chapter 1, the glory of the Lord. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So our first point then, in observation, Ezekiel saw God and he was never the same. Same means of transformation for us. second observation. And that is, note in these verses the way Ezekiel received the word of God. Notice the way or ways he received the word. For example, in verse 1, we are told, heaven was opened. In verse 1, we are told, I saw visions of God. In verse 3, we are told that the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel. And then on the last part of verse 3, we are told that the hand of the Lord was upon him. So notice the first thing established, the hand of God is on him, the word of the Lord came to him, the heavens were standing open, he saw visions of God. The whole emphasis is on divine revelation, not a human hallucination of some type. This is the topside down doctrine, God is giving truth. All right, let's get started a little bit then into, after the setting now, the nature of the vision. The nature of the vision, Daniel 1, 4 through 28. One, its significance. Verse 4 says, and as I looked, behold, a storm wind was coming. So the significance of all of this vision is going to be what we listed in our last hour. That in four of your major prophets, you have four major revelations of God. In Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And we did this in our last hour, so let me just note it very quickly. Isaiah, the very name Isaiah means the Lord is salvation. So that Isaiah reveals the salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah reveals the wrath of the Lord, Ezekiel the glory of the Lord, and Daniel the kingdom of the Lord. Four major doctrines and truths concerning God come into this particular section. Now, as much as Ezekiel will see the glory of the Lord, he does not see it all. The Talmud has a statement that says this, God has two faces. He has a large face and he has a small face. The small face is the face of God that we are capable of understanding. But we don't see the whole large face of God. And this is emphasized in Ezekiel chapter 1 by the fact that throughout this section you have the word likeness of. Now you miss it in your translation, but it's the same Hebrew word. And it's the word likeness of. Go down to chapter 1 and verse 28 and you'll see it. 1:28. And in order to emphasize it, I have put the words likeness of, at least in my own Bible text, in parentheses. Verse 28, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so is the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the, now leave out the next two words. Such was the appearance of the glory of the Lord. Notice Ezekiel doesn't say, such was the appearance of the glory of the Lord. He says, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And the words likeness of in verse 28 shows that though he saw the glory of God, it was in limitations. So the words likeness show limitation. He saw, but he didn't see it all. He saw, but he didn't see it completely. If we're going back to systematic theology, what are we talking about? Is God knowable? Yes, God is knowable. Is he knowable in the fullest sense of the word? No, he is not. We can never know the Almighty to the ultimate. And in chapter 1, he will have a vision of God, but that vision will have limitation. And 10 times... In Ezekiel chapter 1, 10 times he will use this Hebrew word for likeness of. You may want to mark it because you would miss it in the translation. Chapter 1 and verse 5. In verse 5, the word likeness of, showing limitation, occurs two times. Now we're looking at the same word that we had down in 28, where he saw the likeness of the glory of God. Same word now. Verse 5, and within it there were figures resembling, that's the word, four living creatures, and this was their appearance, and that's the word. Likeness of is translated resembling in verse 5. It's translated likeness of in or appearance in verse 5. And it shows that I saw God and I saw his glory, but within limitations. I didn't see it all. If you come down to chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, and as for the, and there it is, form. And it's the word likeness. Form of their faces. I saw something like this. Verse 13. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like. A lot of variety in translation, that same Hebrew word. Looked like burning coals of fire. Verse 16. The appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl, and all four of them had the same form. Same form is the word, the likeness. Verse 22. Over the heads of the living beings, there was something like an expanse, like, and that's the word, the awesome gleam of crystal. Verse 26, it occurs two times. Above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance, and on that which resembled a throne, high up, was a figure with the appearance of a man. And then finally, in verse 28, you have it translated with the words likeness of. So the emphasis is 10 times throughout the chapter. Heavens got open. I saw the throne room of God, and I saw the likeness of his glory. Or if we'd put it in terms of the Talmud, I saw the small face of God, but I did not see God. I saw him in some limited sense of the word. Significance of the vision. Two, what's its purpose? Why did God open up heaven for Ezekiel? The intent of the vision was to create in Ezekiel a proper spiritual attitude. To create a proper attitude toward God. Ezekiel can't prophesy if his attitude isn't right. And you come down to the net effect of the vision, which is in verse 28, last sentence. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice. That instilled in Ezekiel the proper attitude toward the Lord, and that was absolutely necessary to be there. Now, we'll have one other little pattern that's going to emerge, and we'll put it under its purpose, and it's this. You have, ending chapter 1, the prophet-priest on his face before God. And it is from this point that God puts him on his feet and speaks to him. From here, God speaks. Now let me show you that two times in clothing. Closing. Last part of verse 28. And notice the sequence. He's on his face. God puts him on his feet, and God talks to him. Last sentence of verse 28. When I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak to you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me, set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Proper attitude toward God before he could hear the word of God. Moving down to chapter 3, verse 23. Verse 23 says, so I got up and went out to the plain. And behold, the glory of the Lord, that's a theme of Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. And with the prophet priest on his face before God, God picks him up, and that's when God talks to him. So verse 24, then the Spirit then entered me, made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, and then he's told what he is to do. So notice, proper attitude toward God precedes the hearing of his word. And that says to us, really, the measure to which we learn the scriptures is the measure is measured by the reverence and the respect that we have for the Lord. We'll pick up at that point with the elements of the vision in our next study. Father, we're thankful for your truth today in the book of Ezekiel. May we learn it in order to observe and see your glory. In Christ's name, amen.